We certainly do honor the God of our salvation on today, and it is a wonderful occasion. I want to give deference and honor to this leader of this house, my pastor, our pastor, Pastor Armstrong. God bless you for this opportunity. First Lady Melanie, it's always good to see you. Bless you. And to all my family, friends, and cohorts in ministry, let me get away with it like that tonight. I love you and God bless you all. There is a word from the Lord. And if you would please stand for the reading of God's word. We're coming from the book of Joshua, chapter 4. The book of Joshua, chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. And it reads like this. Then Joshua called the 12 men who he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan. And each of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask you in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it crossed over the Jordan. The waters were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so just as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord had spoken to Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them to the place where they lodged and laid them down there. Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are still there to this day. Would you look at your neighbor and help repeat my subject? Make sure you leave some stones. Make sure you leave some stones. My brothers and sisters, as we focus on this theme of now is the time, Vision 2020, I know that there may be some people here tonight wondering, what does stones have to do with Vision 2020? Well, I'm here to submit and suggest that stones have everything to do with the vision that is set before us. For it is stones that we have that is going to pull us through and help us accomplish what needs to be done in these next 7 years. And in order for us to get a better understanding of this text, I want to present 3 points. I want to talk about vision, vicissitudes, and victory. Vision, vicissitudes, and victory. And so let's now consider the text, which prefaces our first point of vision. It is important for us to take note of this text because it will help us discover the parallelisms of Joshua's vision and our vision 2020. For those of you who are not familiar with the story, we are introduced to Joshua in chapter 1, where after the death of Moses, he is now the successor and has a vision to carry out. His vision was to take the children of Israel across the Jordan River into the promised land. Notice, if you will, that the vision was already in place, but Joshua was committed and dedicated to getting the job done. For Proverbs 29:18 tells us that where there is no vision, the people perish. The vision was already in place, and all Joshua had to do was be obedient. For God assured Joshua that just as he was with Moses, so would he be with him. And that's good news today, because we need God to help us along the way. God promises that he will always be with us and never forsake us. All Joshua had to do was only be strong and courageous. And so it is essential for us to know that in order for Vision 2020 to come to pass, there are some prerequisites that are required for us to achieve and be successful. It is important to know that the first imperative mentioned in the strategic planning of the vision, which is that we plan to be a word-based church where everything we do is based on the Word of God. My brothers and sisters, if you want to be successful, you've got to be obedient to the Word of God. The book of Isaiah chapter 1, 19 and 20 says, "If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you rebel and refuse, you shall be devoured by the sword." Tell somebody, I choose to obey. And so this prerequisite must be fulfilled in order for the vision to come to pass. For God told Joshua before he was preparing to cross over the Jordan River in chapter 1, verse 8, that this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Is there anybody here that wants to be prosperous and have good success? Well, then you have to do what the Word says. It is the Word that is going to guide and direct your paths. Psalms 119, 105 declares that your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. Tell somebody, you got to adhere to the Word of God. Yeah, the book of James tells us that we need to not just be hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word. So now it is evident of how great the task at hand was for Joshua to lead the people across the Jordan. Because you see, where there is a vision, there's going to be some issues. And I don't care how much you plan, I don't care how much you get things in place, I don't care how much you pray, you're going to have some type of opposition. And this brings me to my second point of vicissitude. Vicissitudes can be defined as a difficulty or hardship attendant on a way of life, a career, or a course of action, and usually beyond one's control. It's just a simple way of saying it's about the ups and downs as we go through the course of the vision. And so now here in chapter 3, Joshua is getting ready to cross the Jordan River. Let me just pause right here, because there may be somebody here that doesn't understand what Jordan represents. You might think that it's a normal river, but it's not. Because you see, that Jordan River was a dirty river. It was a muddy river. And how do I know this? Because in chapter 3, verse 15, which really stuck out to me, says that now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. This tells me when the people were expecting crops and abundance, the waters flooded and destroyed everything. And I don't know about you, but have you ever been in a place where you thought you were getting ready to be the recipient of a blessing? For you thought that this should have been the time of harvest and reaping for you, but instead things got worse. The flood has come during your harvest and left things muddy. So now they were challenged with crossing a muddy river. And I have to be honest here and tell you the truth, because I want to help somebody know that during this vision 2020, you better believe that you're going to come across some muddy things, some muddy situations, and I dare say some muddy people. You know, they're the people, you know, they're the people that say that they're working for you when they're really working against you. They're the people that's conspiring in the background trying to see the vision fail. Yeah, you've got some friendly enemies. They smile in your face, and all the times they want to take your place. Yeah, we used to call them backstabbers, but today we call them frenemies. These are the people that just want to be stuck in the mud and live in the mud. But I'm going to declare, like Sweet Brown said, ain't nobody got time for that.
You better go ahead.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. and so, I gotta have faith. And I'm here to tell you that in spite of how things look, you got to have faith. I'm here to tell you that if you don't see it before you see it, you never will see it. For faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And so now we know the story that God didn't take them around the river, but he took them through the river. And so it's obvious here that we've got to go through to get to. And now is the time for us to go through. We've been asleep and silent long enough, and our community is plagued with violence, and it seems that murders have become commonplace. There are people all around that is stricken with poverty and other issues. It's time for the church to stop being quiet. It's time for us to make a difference and go where God wants us to go. Because Romans 13:11 declares that, and do this knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. One commentary puts it this way, that you can be sleepwalking with God. So we do many things as Christian, but we're asleep towards God. You can be in the choir and be asleep towards God. You can serve as an usher and be asleep towards God. You can be a deacon and be asleep towards God. Tell somebody, it's time to wake up. It's time to wake up and move forward. And so we all know how this story ends because it mirrors the miracle of the crossing of the Red Sea. A God, through his divine providence, allows the flow of the water to stop, and Joshua and all the people cross over on dry land. And so now this brings us to our final point, which is victory. And see, I believe that every vision should end in victory. Come on, somebody. And now that Joshua and the people have crossed over the Jordan River and they've gotten to the other side, he instructs 12 men, one from every tribe, to take 12 stones out of the Jordan from where the place the priest's feet stood firm. They were to carry them over with them and leave them in the lodging place there where they would stay. He tells them to take up a stone on their shoulder, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask you in time coming to say, what do these stones mean to you? I say, you must understand that even though things are rough, things are hard, that what you are going through is never for you. You need to remember that there is people that is coming behind you, and you gotta leave some stones. Tell somebody you gotta leave some stones.
Come on.
So verse 9 is crucial here because it tells us that Joshua himself set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, and they are still here to this day. And you see, I believe that Joshua knew that the river would not be dry forever, that it's going to get muddy again, it's going to get difficult again, but he knew that he had to leave some stones, and he knew that the waters would be muddy again and things would be difficult, but he knew that you got your children coming behind you. You got relatives coming behind you. Pastor, you got church members coming behind you. And the reason why they won't fall and drown in the mud is because of the stones that you left them. Have I got a witness here that somebody that knows that it's because of the stones that is left behind? Well, as I close, because the clock on the wall tells me it's my time to go, I just stopped by to tell you that as we go forth in the Vision 2020, let's be mindful of the stones that were left behind us when Reverend John A. White was pastoring this church for 42 years, and Reverend S. Howard Woodson, who pastored after him for 53 years, leading and guiding us and taking us into new heights and new depths. It is their stones that is going to lead us to victory. And I just want to tell somebody, you better leave some stones. What you're going through, it may be hard, it may be rough, but pick up your stone and carry it through. I thank you, Pastor, because when you were a boy in South Central Los Angeles, and that you were born to a drug-addicted mother, you didn't give up then, but you just left us a stone. And on your way, as you went to Stanford, and they said that you couldn't do it, that you wasn't going to make it, you didn't give up, you didn't throw in the towel, but you just left us a stone. And then when you got to Princeton, just when you thought that it was over and that you was going to make it, you didn't throw in the towel, you just left us some stones. And 14 years ago, when you became the pastor of this church, they said that you couldn't do it. They said that you wouldn't make it, but you didn't give in. You didn't give in the towel, you just left us some stones. Is there anybody here that's grateful for the stones tonight? Just look at your neighbor and say, I'm grateful for the stones. I'm grateful for the stones, but I'm more grateful. And I'm glad that Pastor is not the only one that left us some stones. It's somebody else that left us some stones to stand on a hill far away, stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. The emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of sinners was slain. I just want to tell you that you better be glad that he died for us. They hung him high. They stretched him wide. He hung his head. And for me, he died. They buried him in a borrowed tomb. He stayed there Friday night. He stayed there Saturday night. But early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hands. Is there anybody glad that Jesus left us some stones? Tell somebody, don't give up. Don't give in. Look towards Jesus, because you have his stones to stand on. Just be glad. Say, make sure you leave some stones. God bless you.